Marcus Anderson. Saturday, March 4th, 1865, Washington, D.C. The man with 6 weeks to live is anxious. He furrows his brow as he does countless times each day and walks out of the Capitol building, which is nearing completion. He is exhausted, almost numb. 50,000 men and women stand in pouring rain and ankle-deep mud to watch Abraham Lincoln take the oath of office to begin his second term. His new vice president, Andrew Johnson, has just delivered a red-faced, drunken 20-minute ramble vilifying the South that has left the crowd squirming, embarrassed by Johnson's inebriation. So when Lincoln steps up to the podium and delivers an eloquent appeal for reunification, the spirit of his second inaugural address is all the more lifting. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive to finish the work we're in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Seattle, 2005. I swear to God, I'm going to kill him, he whispered. Erin Trevino didn't pay any attention to the man seated in the row behind her. She switched on her cell phone, activating the little blue display light. It glowed in the darkened movie theater. Erin punched in the code to check her messages. Up on the big screen in front of her, Judi Dench was reprimanding Keira Knightley for something Erin hadn't paid much attention to. Pride and Prejudice. Maybe she should have been. She had a book report due next week and hadn't even chosen the stupid book yet. If she'd been following the movie more closely, she could have pretended to have read Pride and Prejudice. Her English lit teacher was a sucker for Jane Austen. Then again, she really didn't have to try hard at school lately. Most of her teachers were cutting her some slack. Erin simply had to say she was still traumatized over what had happened last week, and her teachers was grant her an extension or raise her C to a B-. How is your love life? Are you single? Hoping to meet someone and live happily ever after? Seeing someone and contemplating marriage? Maybe you're newly married and still filled with wedded bliss. Or a married couple so exhausted from the constant demands of work and parenting that your marriage is slipping. You may be reeling from a devastating sin in your marriage. Or the two of you are still in love and doing pretty well, but you want to avoid ending up like other couples you know who are not getting along and possibly even getting a divorce. Perhaps you are empty nesters who have realized that the kids largely held together your family, and you don't have close friendship now that they're out of the house. Are you a parent or grandparent concerned for marriage of your child or grandchild? Divorced or trying to figure out what went wrong and how not to endure that pain again? A leader who seeks to help people struggling with relationship issues. Whether you or someone you know has a problem in marriage or are trying to avoid one, I am here to help. I want to serve you in this book. So I will be honest about my own failures, sins, mistakes, and griefs. Even a pastor and his wife come into marriage with baggage and a few carry-ons. But God has been faithful to me, and I want him to be faithful to you as well. To get started, I thought it would be helpful for me to share my story in hopes that you would get to know me a bit, thereby providing some context for what I write in this book and hopefully earning your trust.